Welcome, everyone. This is the session on ASP.NET Identity. We have Javier over here, and we are going to wake everyone up with this exciting move. Let's do it.
All right, ready?
Woo!
Do some jumping jacks.
Let's do some jumping jacks. All right.
Thanks,
so
guys.
For every question you guys ask, Javier is going to do a jumping jack on the background, and we have bets on how many jumping jacks is Javier going to do. So go ahead and keep asking questions, and we'll take it from there, basically. So I'm going to be talking to you about ASP.NET Identity. My name is Pranav Rastogi. I'm a program manager on the ASP.NET team, and I've been working with the Identity project for the last sort of 1 year and sort of when it started. And just to give you an idea as to what is Identity, from the historical perspective of membership, we've had different systems since ASP.NET 2 was started. And each one has sort of evolved to solve a problem. We started with ASP.NET 2.0, where we came up with the SQL membership providers, which you could use in your applications. We had login controls. And so they allowed you to create local users, assign roles to the user, and sort of manage users around it. So this model was great because it had login controls. It worked against SQL Server. But it sort of tightly coupled membership and authentication. And it was used for SQL Server-based applications. In ASP.NET 4.0, we came up with a sort of simple membership. And the goal behind simple membership was sort of to make it easy to customize profile information about your users. So for example, how do I customize my hometown property and add it easily? It was still based on the existing membership model, so it was still using the forms auth module. It was still tied to SQL Server as a backend database of choice. We came up with universal providers as well, which sort of was trying to abstract away the persistence model from you. So you could, it was entity framework based, and so you could use in any SQL Server, which sort of was backed up by EF. So as long as you had an EF provider, you could have used a universal provider. In 4.5, we came up with ASP.NET Identity, which was shipped with VS 2013 RTM. And the goal behind sort of ASP.NET Identity was to provide this one membership story. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of apps you're building, whether you're building web apps or web APIs, you're building MVC, web forms, you can use ASP.NET Identity as the membership system. It was easy to customize profile in this membership system. So you can add hometown, like date of birth, or an address very easily. One of the fundamental pillars was to improve the extensibility story around persistence. So you can easily swap out different persistence providers, so you can replace the default implementation, which is a SQL Server, to be Azure Table Storage, or many of the NoSQL implementations like RavenDB, MongoDB, and stuff. So we made it really easy to customize what the backend storage extensibility should look like. Your app is now more easily unit testable. We've separated authentication from membership. And so for membership, we're using ASP.NET Identity, and for logging in, for we're using sort of OWN cookies, which is the replacement for forms auth module that you were using earlier in your applications. It's fully async, it's 4.5, it's claims-based as well. So you can add custom claims for the user, you can do roles. And I think the biggest advantage of us sort of coming up with ASP.NET Identity was also around putting modern security practices into your application. So in the older membership systems, we sort of gave lots of our scenarios around, creating a local username with a password and sort of managing that identity of the user. Going forward, like in today's applications, a lot of people are logging in with their social identities, like they're logging with Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft account, Google, and many more. As well as, a lot of applications have more stricter security requirements. So two-factor auth has become very very prevalent in applications, like stronger passwords or single sign-out from everywhere. How do you protect from account lockout and stuff? So apart from everything else, like, I think features such as two-factor auth, which is part of ASP.NET Identity, is sort of a game changer in terms of how can you build secure applications. And in my talk today, I'm just going to be talking to you about all of these features itself. In terms of releases, ASP.NET Identity 1.0 was released with the VS 2013 RTM. So all the templates that shipped with the 2013 RTM for MVC web forms, web APIs, PAP used Identity 1.0. identity to a ship with the VS 2013 update 2. So this is where two-factor auth, account lockout, account confirmation, password reset, and many more features came in. And 2.1 is going to ship with the 2013 sort of update 3. So, you know, that's kind of what the landscape looks like in terms of releases. we have lots of features in the identity system. I'm going to point you to a URL where you can read more about these features. But in today's talk, I'm going to be sort of talking to you about the overall scope of identity. I'm going to start by showing you what the basics are. Then we'll start building on top of it by showing you how do you do social logins, how do you do two-factor auth, how do you customize the storage extensibility, and all these features. So this is an MVC application, and I've removed a lot of content from this application to tell you what the moving parts are in an identity system. So let me browse to the site and show you what the site does, and I'll show you what the different parts are about identity. And if you have any questions, you know, please ask those questions, and I'm going to answer the questions as we go. So I can register a user here. Let me go back to my views and I don't need that field right now. So I can come to a site and I can register a user. So by default, we enforce stronger passwords.
No, we don't see your screen. Can you duplicate?
Oh. So this is an application where I'm going to show you the basics of identity. And on this page, I can sort of register a user. So I'm specifying an email and a password, and I'm going to click register. So this is going to create a user in my system with the following details. And if you look at the code, this is how the code looks like for creating a user. So I knew up a user object, which is an app, which is a type defined in my own application. So I can define different properties on this application user object. And then I use the identity APIs to create the user for me. So user manager is an abstraction that we have in identity that allows you to manage users. So you can create users, you can look up users, you can delete users. And then I sign in the user. So sign in is a process where now a user is authenticated, and then we're going to generate a cookie for you. And when we do sign in, we are using sort of the Oven cookies middleware to sign in. And the sign-in process basically sets whether the cookie is persistent or not. So, you know, like remember me on the site always. And then it creates a claims identity which you can pass in into this particular sign-in call. And the claims identity is something that you can customize in terms of what are the default set of claims does the user get in. Like I think by default we put in like the user ID, username, but you can start putting in what are the roles for the user or any sort of custom claims that you want the user to have. And in terms of a database structure, here's what it looks like. So if I expand my default connection, identity sort of defines these following set of tables. and ASP.NET users is where all the user information is stored. So here's the user that I just sort of created myself. You would also notice that there's already an existing user that was there. So the user called admin. And the reason there was an admin user was because in my application, I'm using Entity Framework code first. And identity has an EF implementation which sort of stores the information in the database. And by default, I've set a migration script to run, so it's gonna seed the database. So when the application starts, it's gonna create a default user for me. And in my case, I am sort of creating a default user called admin, and I'm assigning this role called admin to the user. So as part of my default seeding, I create a role called admin, and I create a user called admin at example.com, and I assign the user to the role itself. So if I go back to my application, and I log in with this admin user, it'll have more permissions in this account. So when I logged in with this admin user, so you notice that this role admins link came up. And this roles admin link is only available for users who are in roles admin. And in my case, this user called admin@example.com was added to a role admin. And in my account, in my controller, I have this check for authorizing only users who are in role admin to access this controller. So it's very similar to what you were doing with the earlier membership systems where you have users, you can create roles, and you can assign users to different roles, and you can sort of authorize parts of your application to be only accessible to certain users or certain users in certain roles. So, and the exact same model sort of applies. What differs now with ASP.NET Identity and sort of the OWN cookies is like, how do you configure it? In the previous world with a SQL membership, you would drop down to your web config and sort of define the roles, or you would use the role SQL role provider to create roles for your application and assign users to roles. So all that is now done through ASP.NET Identity. The authorize attribute kind of works the same way, where it sort of looks for the roles for the user and then grants access to this particular controller if the user in a certain role or not. I can also sort of start building on this application by sort of extending my application user object to have more profile data around it. So an example of this is when you sign up for a site, when you register for an account, you provide more information in terms of what is your address, what is your hometown, and then so on and so forth. So in identity, what you have to do is you can extend the application user. And so you can add a field to it called hometown. So this is using EF code first, and I can add more properties to it. And I can then drop down to my package manager console. So let me just clear it. And I'm going to enable migrations for my application. So what enable migrations does is, it's since it's using Entity Framework code first, and I'm going to change this, I'm changing the schema of my database, it's going to enable migration so that I can add a migration which is going to migrate the schema of my database. So I'm going to add a migration called hometown, which is going to generate a script inside my application. And when I run update database, the database is going to be updated with this new schema. So if I go back and I look at my users table, and if I refresh, so let me close this. Let me refresh. So users now have a hometown property. So now I can change my register pages. So what I have to do basically is in my accounts view model, I can go to the register view model, add a new field for this hometown property. So this is my view model, which is going to be displayed on the page. Go to my register page, add a new field for entering the hometown, and call it hometown. And then when I'm registering the user in my accounts controller, I can drop down to the register method action, and then I can set the hometown for the user. And so now if I build it, go back to my application, sort of log off. And now if I register, you know, I see the hometown. I can say Seattle, specify the password, and then register. And so what this is going to do is basically create this user. And if I drop back to my database, I say show table data, you will see Seattle coming. So that's the whole idea behind making it easier to customize profile, is like, now that you have this one POCO that you have in your application in terms of your application user class, you can sort of go and easily customize what your POCO looks like, what kind of properties does it have, and you can use EF as you would do in your application and sort of easily combine both the membership information and your application information. And you can use the same DB context, you can use multiple DB contexts, you can store them in the same database or in different database. You have full control of how this persistence looks like from a SQL Server perspective. So this is sort of, you know, the basics of identities, where how do you sort of register a user, how do you extend identity to add more profile data about the user, and how do you create roles, sort of assign users to role and authorize certain parts of your application for to be only accessible to certain users or certain roles. So I'm gonna sort of start to build upon it to show you how you can add sort of social logins to such an application as well. So one of the things I wanted to point out in this application was there's this class called Startup Auth, which is where you configure your authentication middlewares and which is where you configure identity as well. And in Startup Auth, what I've done is I have created these per instance objects for user manager, role manager, which can be used in all of the controllers in my application. And the reason I've done it is so that I have a single instance of these objects. I've also configured this application to use cookie auth. So this is an analogous to using forms auth module, you know, in the SQL membership world. So you would drop down to a forms auth module, whereas now you would sort of configure Oven cookies. And all this is sort of code-based configuration. So I'm not going to web config and I'm sort of configuring my forms auth module, all my membership information over there. I'm sort of configuring how it looks like in code. So in the sample I showed you, I just have cookie auth enabled, which allows me to store a cookie for the logged in user. So let's look at an example which extends on this and allows a user to log in with social providers such as Facebook, Google, and et cetera. So this is that example where we're gonna log in with Facebook. So the configure auth has the same registration for cookie auth, where you can log in by a local username and password and store that cookie information. It also has support for social provider. So you can have Google, Facebook, Twitter. And so notice that in this app, I have uncommented Google authentication. So once I launch this application and I would go sort of to the login screen, you would see that it has more options. So I can log in with username, password, or I can log in with Facebook, Google, and I can keep adding more authentication middlewares over here. So I can add Microsoft account, Twitter, and so on and so forth. The app is set up in such a way where you can have authentication through multiple providers. So in this demo, I have Facebook as the authentication middleware I'm gonna use. And the scenario is that I'm gonna log in with Facebook and I'm gonna access some data about myself. So I'm gonna access the user's friends information, their friends' pictures, because I'm gonna build some sort of a rich experience around it. You know, I can log in, I can tap the social activity for the user. So I'm gonna add Facebook scopes, which is a way of telling Facebook, hey, I'm gonna trust this app, and for this app, please allow access to information about, you know, friends, photos, and friends about me. And I'm gonna store the Facebook access token, which I get from Facebook. and I'm gonna use this later in my app to retrieve the pictures of my friends. So this is a call that happens on the Oven middleware, where once you go to Facebook, you're authenticated, you come back to your application, then you can extract this Facebook access token, and I'm gonna store the Facebook access token as a claim for the user so I can retrieve it later in my application. So I'm gonna launch this. So Facebook is an OAuth2 based login. I'll say login. I'm gonna say Facebook. So this is posting back to my application saying, I clicked Facebook and my app is gonna issue a challenge to the Facebook middleware, which is gonna redirect it to facebook.com, where I can enter my Facebook credentials. In my case, since I've already logged in with Facebook, it remembers my Facebook credentials, and it's sort of it's back into my application, and I can check to see if the user already has an account in this application. If the user doesn't have an account, then I'm going to create one account for the user with the default email I got from Facebook. So I'm going to register, and when I register, I'm going to take the Facebook access token that I got from the Owen Facebook authentication middleware. I'm going to store it into my application. So I'm going to use it later to make a call to Facebook to get the pictures of my friends. So in this call, I'm sort of storing the Facebook access token in my database. This Facebook info link, when I click this link, I'm going to take this Facebook access token that I just stored in my database. And I'm using a library called Facebook C# SDK, where you can pass it the Facebook access token and call in Facebook endpoint to get more information about the user. And there you go. So I'm getting all the pictures of my friends. I think I have a few friends, so this is going to take a while to process. But effectively, the experience that you can build on top of this is, you know, you get data from Facebook. You can store the Facebook access token and make a call to the Facebook site to get more information. And you can build a more richer experience by having this sort of social integration into your sites. And you can have Twitter, you can have Facebook, Microsoft account, Google. There are a lot of more providers that people have written that you can use in your application. So I strongly suggest to check out these providers that you can use in your application. Right. So this is an app where I'm going to start to show you lots of features, and I think this is what a complete app would look like, which includes modern security features like two-factor auth. It includes account lockout. It includes forget password. It includes account confirmation. And I'm going to show you how this sort of flow looks like in this application. I'm going to highlight some important pieces of code in this app. So let's launch this application. I'm going to take out my phone. So the first step is I'm going to register a user. So this is my account. So the first time a user comes to your site, you can create the user, but you can leave the user in an unconfirmed state. So until the user confirms the email, they are restricted in certain activities on the site. And this is a behavior that you can customize. So in some sites, you cannot log in until you confirm your email. In some sites, you cannot do any write operation until you confirm your email, and you only have read-only access to the site. So how you want to use email confirmation is up to you. In this case, I am basically saying that a user can get created, but a user cannot log in until he confirms the email, or a user cannot change his password until the email is confirmed. So I just created an account, and then an email was sent to my account. So I'm going to go to my Outlook. And so this is the email that was sent to me. And the way the email was sent was, in my application, I basically have an email service which sends the email, and that's it. And you can use SendGrid, you can use any other service to send email to you. So I'm going to click the email link. And so this basically switches my account from being unconfirmed to confirmed. So in this case, my email has been confirmed, and I can log in into this site. So log in. And what happens from a database perspective is we have a property on the user object, and it's called isEmailConfirmed. Right. So emailConfirmed is this property which is set to true. So when you click the email, then your account is confirmed, and then you can sort of log in into this application. So there's a question that how is ASP.NET identity with claims different than the federated security model? Effectively, what happens is the principle that gets created, set of claims that you deal with the federated security model. In this case, I'm interpreting this to be the WIF federation model, which had the WSFed modules that you can use to authenticate with the Active Directory or ADFS. So it is, the way you can think about it is it's just one of the providers that you can use to authenticate against, and then eventually you get a user in your application which you can manage using identity itself. Can ASP.NET MVC website with identity be connected with the mobile client? Yes. So in Visual Studio, if you look at the SPA template or the Web API template, actually in particular, is an example. There are two examples of how you can have either you're building just a services app that you want to then authenticate different backend clients. You want to have a web frontend, a phone backend, and so you can use ASP.NET identity and you can use Web API to sort of build this experience where you have one service and you can accessing that service via web, via phone, or via different clients, and you can use ASP.NET identity in the backend as well. External providers such as Facebook, Google work the same way because the way it's been abstracted out is there is ASP.NET identity, which is the membership system, which uses any of the OWEN middlewares for authentication. So it uses OWEN cookies for generating a cookie in the end, but OWEN middlewares such as Facebook, Google, Open WSFed, and any middlewares that from the OWEN stack. So these work across the frameworks, across web apps, across web APIs as well in the same way. How is the, can we integrate ASP.NET identity in SharePoint? I don't know exactly what that scenario basically means, but it's a membership system and you can use this membership system anywhere as long as it's 4.5. ASP.NET identity support PBKDF2 out of the box. I am not quite sure what this particular acronym means, so I'm going to skip that. English Eng Labs adds create a new identity DB context. You can choose not to do it as well. Are there more questions? And I hope Javier is doing jumping jacks for each question that is being asked. All right, so let's continue with this demo. So in this case, I just registered a user, and I went through the process of confirming a user account. I got one more question. Is there a way to combine forms authentication with Windows authentication so the user can choose if they want to use the Windows credentials or provide username and password? I believe there's a way to do it. It's a fairly common Stack Overflow question asked on forums and Stack Overflow as well, so you will find the answer to it. There's nothing in the identity system or the open middlewares that sort of changes that scenario, so it's the exact same implementation that would have been there before, except that you would replace the SQL membership with ASP.NET identity if you care about the newer features of identity and then the, open cookie auth and the benefits around it. All right, so looks like there are no more questions coming in. And okay, I'm going to switch back to my application. And so just to set some context back to the app where we were, we just created a user and we went through a process of how a user confirmed their email. And so once I click the user now, I have more options where I can change the password for the user. I can add external logins, so I can add Facebook, Google, any of the social middlewares, or I can use like any of the OWEN authentication modules. And I can enable or disable two-factor auth for my application. And so two-factor auth is a flow where you want to have some secondary authentication once you provide a username and password. And the reason you want to have two-factor auth in your site is, in a case where you're password gets compromised, your account is still protected because the attacker would need a second form of verification before they can log in. And second factor of verifications can be one of the many few. They can be either something that you own, basically. So it's either a phone, so you can send yourself SMS, or you can use like the Google Authenticator app. If you want to take it a step further extreme, then sort of you can use biometrics and but I won't go into it. The best place to get these samples are ASP.NET/identity, which has all the links. And I'll point you to those links towards the end of my talk as well. So I'm going to show you what this flow for enabling a two-factor auth on an account looks like. And I'm going to talk to you about the different feature set that sort of are very critical in this flow and something that you should be aware about. I can add a phone number. So the process of adding a phone number is, since this is a security activity, we want to verify your phone number before we can add your phone number, because we are going to use the phone number as your second set of verification. So I can enter a phone number. I am not entering my phone number because I want to keep it secret. And so I'm going to add this phone number. It's going to send me a text message. So I just got a security code in my phone. That's the SMS that I got. I'm going to enter the code, like 702609. And so once I enter the code, my phone number has been validated, and I can use this as a second set of verification. So now I can enable two-factor auth for my account. And if I log off and I log in, I have an option of how do I want to verify my second factor? Should I want to use phone code, email code? And I can plug in more factors over here as well. Like, there's a blog post by like Be a Rockstar person, which tells you how to hook up a Google Authenticator into your application. So in my sample, I'm going to choose a phone code. And it's going to send me another text message. 070044, and this is a step of remember browser. And the reason you want to have this option is, for example, if you're browsing to the site from your personal machine, which is something that you own, you don't want to be asked for a two-factor step each time on this machine, because this is a machine that you own that is private. And if you want this experience to be a little more convenient, then you can say like, remember me on this browser, and we're going to remember you for X amount of time, which you can configure. Also, on this step, so let's say, let's log in, and let's come back to this. So when I submit, we basically are logged into this application itself. What is the default encryption used? There's a question, couple of questions. How can I debug trace ASP.NET identity? You can use, I think you can add basic debugging in terms of your application code and what's happening. But if you have more detailed questions on what exactly you want to debug, you can shoot me an email or send me a tweet on @trusted. The question from Roger is, what is the default encryption used? I don't know offhand, but you can definitely implement your own hashing implementation. So that's one of the extensibility that we have in ASP.NET Identity is, what hashing should we use? And this seemed to be different opinions in terms of what people consider a secure hash. And so we use something. If you want to change how passwords are hashed, you can plug in your own password hasher and you can use it in the system. So that's one of the extensibility scenarios that we have sort of baked into the framework is, at lots of these places where we provide you with the default implementations, we also give you a way to override this implementation with whatever you choose to be, your favorite implementation. So another example of extensibility is around primary keys. So we store GUIDs as as strings as the primary key in the SQL Server implementation. But there are opinions on, I want to use ints, I want to use pure GUIDs, I want to use something else, because I have reasons to believe that this is the best primary key I can use for my application. So you can totally do that as well. It's totally up to your application itself. So in this flow, I'm going to point you to a couple of more interesting scenarios as well. So when I'm logging into this application, I log in, I get the code. So this is a step where, you know, somebody might have access to your password, and they might try to brute force this code for you. So 1, 6. So if I submit an incorrect code, you know, X amount of times, then my account is locked out. So we've sort of built in into this framework, and the sample is an experience where if your password gets compromised and if somebody does a brute force attack on the two-factor auth codes, then your account will be locked out, you know, and you can configure these account lockout settings. So the account lockout feature is interesting is because when your account gets locked out, it's sort of a rolling lockout policy where your account gets locked out for 5 minutes. That means you can't log in until 5 minutes, and then after that you can sort of log in again. It does not require an admin step where an admin needs to go in the database and sort of flip a switch which sort of makes your account active. So we still preserve the behavior where, you know, we protect you against sort of brute forcing attacks against two-factor auth codes, and we give you the convenience sort of going back to your account and not having to require an admin process in this step. And you can configure all of these settings in this file called identity config. So this is a code to sort of send email, send a SMS. I'm using a service called Twilio, and you can, it's a free service. They have a free account. You can plug in anything you want, but this is the part where you sort of send SMS to yourself. And we have an application user manager, which is defined in the application. It inherits from the base user manager, and it's used to sort of configure different aspects about identity. So you can configure what the user validation should look like. You can configure what password validation should look like. You know, how strong should the passwords be? If you don't like our default password validator, you can plug in your own password validator. You can plug in your own password hasher as well. These are the two-factor providers. Email and SMS. You can add more, like, you know, use authenticator apps over here, and these are the sort of account lockout settings. So, and you can enable disable account lockout per account as well. So you can create user accounts which do not have account lockout enabled if you wish to. In our samples, all accounts have account lockout enabled, and then you can configure the settings for account lockout, like how many times before account gets locked out, and then how long is the account locked out for. So those are the two settings that you have. There's a question, how does this fit in with Azure ACS? So what identity provides to you is a framework where you can log in with username passwords, and it allows you to plug in different providers. For example, Facebook, which is what we saw, and you can consider like Active Directory as one of the providers. So there's work happening in the open world where there's the open authentication middlewares for WSFed and OpenID. And so those will be just providers that you can use in terms of how do users log in into your application. Identity is sort of the management piece around it in terms of your application. What does the user management look like? How does that user behave with the rest of my application? So it provides you with semantics around it. It also gives you features such as two-factor auth as a framework which you can use in your application. And these features, you know, might only be available to certain kind of providers. For example, like in Azure today, you can enable multi-factor auth, but it's only enabled for the users created in Active Directory itself. So if you don't have that environment, or if you don't have access to those environments, then in your own production house, you can use ASP.NET Identity as the security framework. And lastly, I just wanted to show you sort of the, you know, the login code where, so this is the code when somebody logs in. We have, in my application, I'm checking, before a user can log in, the email needs to be confirmed. And I basically try to sign in the users. And if, you know, the password doesn't match, or if the account is locked out, or if the account requires two-factor authentication, then I sort of redirect the user to appropriate flows itself. So this is the part where sort of ASP.NET Identity really shines at sort of combining all these security experiences and providing you a way to add these features into your application itself. And so all these features were part of ASP.NET 2.0, which was shipped with Update 2. And we have samples showing you how to do all of these scenarios as well. So this is an example of ASP.NET identity where the persistence storage mechanism is customized. So I've shown you examples where I've been storing information in SQL Server using Entity Framework. But one of the key pivots of ASP.NET identity is to make it easier so that you can customize your storage implementation. So you can swap out the EF implementation, which uses SQL Server, and use like Azure Table Storage, MongoDB, RavenDB, anything that you like. So, and I think there are about more than 10 implementations by community members, which show you different providers. So this is an sort of an overview architectural diagram of what the identity core interfaces look like. At the high level, an app talks to a user manager, which is the abstraction, and a user manager talks to a store and uses the user POCO object. And the store is basically your persistence layer. You want to store it in SQL Server, Table Storage, MongoDB, RavenDB. And so the pluggability point is you can implement your own stores and provide your own classes on what the user object shape looks like, and then implement all the CRUD methods, and then that's basically your persistence extensibility. So your app talks to a user manager, and then a user manager takes in a user store and a user POCO. So as long as you keep providing different user stores, your app doesn't have to change because it talks to a user manager. And so that's what I'm going to show you in this example of table storage. In my accounts controller, so in my identity config is where I'm sort of configuring my application user manager. And when I configure my application user manager, I am providing it with an Azure store. And Azure store is my implementation of identity, which is going to talk to a table store. It's going to use Azure Table Storage as a database. And to implement this Azure store, what I've basically done is I've implemented all the interfaces required to make identity work. So identity is sort of, you know, split up into different interfaces, and each interface sort of maps to a functionality. Like, do you want claims? Do you want roles? Do you want two-factor auth? Do you want sign out everywhere? And so each of these interfaces sort of maps roughly to one feature, and you can customize in terms of what feature set do you want in your own persistence mechanism. Like, do you want the email store? Do you want the role store? So you can choose. So it's basically implementing all these interfaces, providing what the POCO looks like in terms of, you know, what's my user type. And in this case, it's application user, which is deriving from Azure user. Remember, in my first demo, I had showed you application user deriving from identity user, which was coming from the EF implementation. And so this base class is coming from this Azure implementation, which defines what the user POCO should look like. So I, as a developer, can sort of easily inherit libraries like these into my application. And then in my application, I can sort of customize what this, what the profile properties would be for the user. I can sort of come over here and I can add hometown the same way I had done in my earlier demo itself. So that's sort of the abstraction that we have. And so let me run this sample. So this sample sort of shows you the same flow where you can customize all of the identity features and sort of use it in your application. So here I'm registering a user. I'm just printing the link over here so I can easily click it. It's a more of a demoable scenario. But what I have in this particular application is another flow for adding an authenticator app. So this builds up on the same two-factor auth flow that I showed you earlier, where I can add an authenticator app. I can go to my phone, and I can launch this authenticator app here. Scan the barcode. This is the barcode scanner. And so it's gonna print out a code on the phone for me. So I can 083613. I'm gonna wait for the second code to be printed on the phone itself. Yep, 562078. Verify code. You know, the authenticator app is added, so I can sort of enable two-factor auth. I can log off, I can log in, and then use the same email account. And now I have authenticator app as a two-factor auth provider that I can use. And I can, you know, have the same flow where, you know, I can use my app to generate the code and sort of log in into the application. So 524066 and submit. And the things that sort of changed in this application was the persistence. So if I go to my table storage and I refresh, so this is the table that I created in my table storage implementation. And if I query, you know, this is my user object basically. So it's the partition key, row key, and I can customize what the keys look like. But this is the exact same user object in terms of there's a username, email, two-factor auth enabled, is account lockout, is phone confirmed, is email confirmed. So all the features that you saw basically with the EF implementation against a SQL Server, you can change the persistence and be whatever you want it to be. So that's one of the key pivots of identity. So now I can log off. So as part of this effort around ASP.NET Identity and sort of the Ovint cookie middleware, one of the things that we sort of had in Visual Studio was this tool called WebAdmin. And WebAdmin was a tool in Visual Studio where you could sort of right-click an ASP.NET app and say, you know, manage security for my application. So it allowed you to enable, disable security, add users, manage users, add roles, manage roles, add users to roles, remove roles, and everything around it. So as we move towards identity and sort of Ovint cookie middlewares as well, the tool no longer worked, and we removed the tool from 2013. And one of the reasons we removed the tool was because it was tightly coupled to VS. It was very hard to customize. It was, you know, talking to a SQL Server database as well. So what I'm showing you now is, this is this project by Brock Allen and Dominic Baer. And it's a pretty cool project. They have Identity Manager, which basically allows you to manage users in your application. And it can talk to both ASP.NET Identity or sort of Membership Reboot, which is the offering from the ThinkTecture project. But the cool thing about this project is, and it's a work in progress, which is, they're working on, is it allows you to sort of manage users. So you can view all users, or you can, you know, create a new user over here, and I can specify a password, and I can edit the user, I can set the password, you know, set email, I can add claims for the user, I can set the phone number. So you can do a bunch of operations around the user itself. So it's a, and I can go back, and I can basically see all the users for it. So I would strongly suggest checking out this tool. It's a pretty cool work that I think Brock and Dominic have done, where you can easily integrate this tool into your application and then see how this sort of fits into your application itself. This is still a pretty early work in progress though, like so do try it out and contribute towards it. Right, these are some resources that I wanted to highlight as part of this presentation was, this is a blog post. What is the simplest way to upgrade ASP.NET Simple Authentication to ASP.NET Identity? That is a pretty good question. We have these tutorials on ASP.NET/identity, which talk to you about how do you migrate your applications from previous membership systems to ASP.NET Identity. So there's a tutorial that talks, this tutorial talks to you about how do you migrate from SQL membership to identity. This tutorial talks to you about universal providers to identity. They also cover how do you migrate your profile data, how do you migrate your user's information, how do you migrate your users forward so that they don't have to change their passwords if you choose for them to retain their same password as well. They also tell you if you want to maintain the schema that you had earlier and you don't want to migrate to the ASP.NET Identity schema, then you can sort of plug in your custom schema that you had with the earlier membership systems into ASP.NET Identity. So one of the biggest points about ASP.NET Identity is the pluggability around this persistence layer and how the persistence should be, what the user object should look like, and how should it be persisted in the database. So you have complete control over it, and you can customize that behavior itself. There is also a project on ASP.NET CodePlex.com is where we put all of our samples for identity. And in the samples folder, if I go under identity, we have two samples for simple membership, for migrating from simple membership to ASP.NET Identity itself. And the two samples basically show you the following two scenarios where I have MVC4 app, which is using simple membership. I do not want to upgrade to MVC5, and I only want to upgrade to ASP.NET Identity. So how do I do it? So that's the example. Because remember, ASP.NET Identity only requires 4.5. As long as you're running an application that's on 4.5, you can use ASP.NET Identity. And then the second example for simple membership shows you how to do a schema update as well, if you choose to update the schema of your application to match towards ASP.NET Identity. So that's, I think, been one of the major sort of areas that I've been looking into as well, is like, you know, with each release or something, we come up with a new system or a new paradigm. And how do we help people who have existing applications to sort of embrace these newer features into their application? So these tutorials will help you a lot in terms of integrating all of the new features into your application as well. So I would strongly encourage you to go to the site ASP.NET/identity and check out the resources over here. More recently, we've posted this recommended resource document, which talks to you about, you know, important Stack Overflow questions. There are videos on ASP.NET Identity, where to ask questions, where to file bugs, good articles from the community members to read. So it helps you sort of get an overall feel of identity, and you know, helps you easily get started with identity as well. Right. That's all I had to show today. I hope you guys had a good time, and I hope you asked a lot of questions so that Javier got to do a lot of jumping jacks as well. I'm hearing jumping jacks, so I should do jumping jacks.
All right. So there were 10 questions asked, so I'm a man of my word. I'm going to do the jumping jacks. If you give me some space, I'll do them right here. So here you go, 10 jumping jacks. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That one's for you, Hexter.